From gang life in Los Angeles to a radical encounter with Jesus Christ, today's guest has lived a journey few could imagine. From shattered dreams and hopelessness to a restored vision of family, embracing a new role as a husband, a father of twins, and a voice of hope to people all over the world. Today we explore how one man's crazy life became a testimony of transformation, healing, and grace. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Skywatch Television. I'm Joe Artis Horn. Today we continue a very important discussion that we started last week with our special guest. Let me introduce who's here. He's a former gang member turned Christian television host, now leading his own program, The Mondo Show. He's a worldwide motivational speaker who shares his testimony of Christ's redemptive power all over national media. Please welcome Mondo De La Vega. Oh. And he's the host of the Jim Baker Family Television Program and the president of the PTL Network. Please welcome Ricky Baker. You know, we didn't have time at all last week. We barely started peeling the layers of the onion. We found ourselves in this enormously immersive conversation where our special guest, Mondo De La Vega, who has written this incredible brand new book, and I'm going to bring this up on the screen for you, My Crazy Life, The Moments That Brought a Gangster to Grace. Mondo, we, again, didn't have time to even dig into the meat, barely setting the table, but we were able to navigate part of your journey from childhood. And I'll do a quick recap, and then we'll turn it over to you so you can continue. But as a young child, you're living a life, your father seems to be successful, you seem to believe that everything is nearly perfect, then all of a sudden he has this moment that you describe as unrecognizable to you. You find him beating your mother almost to death. Now you're basically a refugee, you're fleeing from him. You end up in Los Angeles, California. You now absolutely hate the family construct. You're looking now towards gangs as a place to exist, a place of sheer survival. You end up being jumped into gangs, which we talked about for those unfamiliar. It's basically the process. It's a rite of passage where people surround you, and the gang wants you to know what getting beat to nearly death might feel like if you were to get jumped by an opposing gang. So you've got maybe 16, 20 guys just pounding you as a young boy, almost to death, so that when you rise, you're a new man and you belong to this gang, and just a broken dream situation.
Man, you said that perfectly. I'm like, who are you talking about?
If you missed last week's program, you've got to go back to the archives. Maybe go to the App Store and download the Skywatch Television mobile app where they have yet to try and cancel us. You got to see week one because, again, today we're going to continue at a full sprint here to try to get to more of this journey. Because one of the things we ran out of time to do last week that I really wanted to unpack, we set the stage. You began to explain the transformative moment where you started to second guess your life as a gangster came by way of this year-long intercession that your sister was doing on your behalf. She's Absolutely. Fasting for you. She's praying for you. She's living in the same house. Mm-hmm. And one of the thoughts that I didn't mention last week that I had, though, was very profound. You talked about the two, I'll paraphrase in my own words, the two factions, the spiritual battle for Mondo's soul. You have evil on one side that's taking him out this door to a life of what is surely going to be premature death and destruction. Mm-hmm. And you've got your sister under the same roof pleading to a God for intercession that the Holy Spirit would grab you by the heart and pull you out of this. It's a cataclysm, but there was this battle. And newsflash, Jesus wins because you join us today as a person on television that's evangelizing Jesus Christ every week.
And
it's amazing that this is how much you're worth, that somebody's willing to contend for your life. And when I understood that my life was worth fighting for, I understood that I had been called for a greater mission. And when you're in the middle of your chaos, you don't feel worthy. I was a filthy sinner. I was a man that didn't deserve to be forgiven. I had done, said things that could have landed me in prison for the rest of my life. I was headed towards death. I was wanting death. I was looking for death. I was tempting death because I didn't want to live anymore. I couldn't live with the fact that nobody wanted me. I didn't feel value enough, yet I was making a lot of money. I didn't feel worthy enough, yet I was being respected in the streets at a young age, looking at life in a different lens, wondering there's got to be more to life, yet nothing was fulfilling that. All I ever wanted was two things in my life, and that was two things that were so far away. And I wanted someone to love me, and all I wanted was peace. Yet I lived in the most chaotic environment every single day. I held my best friends dying in my arms. There were moments where I knew I should have been dead, Joe, yet God had a plan. I just didn't understand the plan. I couldn't see the plan. I didn't want the plan. But yet somebody was contending for my life. At the same time, death was knocking on my door. It was the most impactful moment to understand that when someone wants you, they're willing to put their life on hold. Even the devil puts his plans on hold because he wants you so desperately. I remember being inside of a lowrider, and just like a business, you're waiting for a promotion. And I was waiting for my promotion in order to be one of the key leaders in our gang. Los Angeles, California had over 60,000 gang members, and our gang was considered one of the most dangerous gangs before MS-13. And yet our gang was growing fast. But I wanted to be one of the leaders because I had a vision for that gang. I wanted this vision to be fulfilled. And I kind of jokingly said, I want the vision to be spread Billy Graham style. Because I saw the power when you give purpose to a young man, what they can do to change the world. Because if a young man is given a purpose to live and die for the neighborhood, you can change the community. And if you can change the community, you can change the environment, the values, the morals, and now you got something to live and die for. Well, I found myself inside of this lowrider wanting a promotion, and I got a beep, the beeper. Remember the beep, pagers?
Yeah, pagers.
And I got a page, and in front of me were two older gang members, and beside me was another gang member, and I got the page waiting for me to go out. We didn't have cell phones back then, so we had to use the payphone. And I asked one of the guys in the car, I said, stop the car, homie. And it's a chapter in my book because there's moments of grace that take place without you even realizing it. And I want to tell you something. We got into a scuffle. We got arguments and bad words exchanging. And then one of the guys pulled a gun and told me to shut your mouth. This is not your job. He snatched the pager out of my hand. And as he's walking towards the payphone, the guy in the front turns around and says, why you let him talk to you that way? And inside of me, hate. And he said, this guy's next. He'll never talk to me like that ever again. As I'm saying that, I hear bullets flying. And I turn around, and the guy that took the pager out of my hand, he was killed. That should have been me. The guy sped up and took off. And as I'm turning around, I told the guy in the front, we got to go back. That's one of our homeboys. He said, let the dead bury the dead. I said, that's when I realized, oh, I don't matter here. Here, I thought I was somebody. Here, I thought they were making me feel somebody. Now, you're telling me we're worth nothing. Here, I am willing to live and die for the neighborhood, willing to go to prison for you, willing to give my life for you, willing to take a bullet for you. Now, I'm just going to be another name on the wall. There's got to be more to this. And I'm thinking the adrenaline set down, and I started thinking, where is God? All of a sudden, the thought of God came and wondering, where is God? Because if there is a God, I need to talk to him. And if I need to talk to him, I got a lot to say to him. And then we got some issues to fix. All of a sudden, this idea of hope, you have to understand something, Joe. I was not afraid to go to prison. I was not afraid of dying. I was not afraid to challenge somebody for a fight. And that's not because I was tough. It's because I was scared. I was scared of hope. I was scared of love. I was scared that my life could be more than what I was living through. That's what I feared the most. I ended up in jail. They were framing us. The police officers were framing us, wanting extortion for information because their deal had gone wrong, so they wanted to use us to cover their mistakes. They beat me close to death with a flashlight. This is a moment of grace that you don't recognize grace when you're going through crisis, but God is a reminder to let you know that he still has a plan for your life. And as I'm getting ready to, I got beat for 2 hours and I'm bleeding. I can hardly move. And you know what the process was? Because they couldn't get what they wanted out of us. They were going to drop us off in enemy territory so they can finish us off. So I knew that I was going to be dropped off at an enemy territory so I can get killed so their footprints wouldn't be on us. So you wonder why we hate police? It's because there's a lot of rooted issues that are going on in the system. Now, you got to understand, here I am. I'm sitting down. I'm bleeding. And I hate everything and around me. And I'm wondering, where is God? All of a sudden, I hear Dick Clark on the radio. And I hear him say, the next hour, we're going to have family time. Oh, this is the last thing I wanted. With the Lennon sisters. And they're going to share family stories. And you know how dramatic Dick Clark was. Amazing guy. And the last thing I ever wanted to hear at that moment was family things. But yet I said, I wonder what it will be like to be inside of that living room. That's what kept me alive. I was taken 2 hours away and be dropped off at enemy territory by this police officers. And it was the Bloods neighborhood, an African-American neighborhood with the Bloods. And they were going to leave me there to die. God has a way to remind you he loves you. And God reminded me at that moment through the Lennon sister moment to give me hope. And then as I was dropped off at an enemy territory, I saw 10 guys coming towards me, getting ready to come and kill me and throwing up their gang signs and saying, whoop-de-woo-woo-woo-woo. You recognize. I said, oh my God, I'm in Blood's neighborhood. This is over. And all of a sudden I hear a voice. This kid, 2 months prior, I had saved his life. And this kid, all of a sudden, God used to save my life. I began to sense that something was happening. I just couldn't understand what was happening. It was the moment of grace to remind me that maybe I'm worth something. And God will use strange things to remind you. And as I was writing my book, I realized that the blood of Jesus is red, right? Guess who saved my life in the Bloods neighborhood? First of all, it's called the Bloods. Then the leader of that blood gang was called Big Red. Big Red with the Bloods saved my life physically.
He recognized you.
He recognized me as one of the leaders.
And he remembered that there was a moment where you had done something to help him or save him or something.
Absolutely. And I want to tell you something.
So he started to call everybody off.
He called everybody off immediately, allowed me to stay in the Blood neighborhood for a few days for me to recover. I couldn't
even
walk.
How unprecedented is that? Wouldn't there be those that would view that as a betrayal of the family or the gang?
Absolutely.
Like, so he took a risk.
He took a risk because Latinos and Blacks, we didn't get along. And that's the thing you have to recognize here, that we were after each other. We didn't like each other. There was too much pride with each other, too much competition with one another. But I began to see inside of how African Americans live, and I realized they're just like us. And they realized he's just like us. He even asked me to join his gang. And I said, Big Red, I said, I can't do it. That would be the death of me. I said, I'm from East LA. You're from the Valley. That's never going to happen. He said, Mondo, if I let you go, you're not going to make it back home alive. Now, you have to understand, they dropped me off 2 hours away from where I live. I had to go through almost 15 different gangs to get back home. You know what saved my life? God reminded me that his blood was with me. Was that I told Big Red, you gotta let me go. I got to go back home. He says, well, if you go on the bus, you'll never make it home. Well, I need to. He said, well, take these cigarettes with you. Take the Marlboro Reds. Marlboro Reds, I smoked them for a long time because it reminded me of my father. But Big Red, the Marlboro Reds, the blood red went with me through the valley of the shadow of death getting back home. And I want you to know something. As I got in that bus, we went through this neighborhood called Toonerville. It was one of the top gangs in the valley next to the Bloods. And as one of two gang members came in and I knew that, oh, man, this is trouble. I'm dead right here. Because when you see another gang member, you have to kill him on the spot. You can't let them live. You know what saved my life? Those cigarettes. And those same guys drove me back home. I would have never made it back home. But as I wrote my book, I realized the symbolism of Bloods, Big Red, Red Marlboros, the blood of Jesus is red, something red here is about to change my life. I just couldn't understand that those kind of moments were leading up all the way to meeting my sister. This is where it gets good. My sister heard a prophetic word from God that before that year was over, your brother was going to be saved. Mm.
There are still details that, you know, people watching this program have no idea of. Well, that includes me, a lot of the inner workings of gang symbolism and what, you know, Pack of Marlboros would have said to these two guys that got on the bus, that you know, somehow that they now accommodate getting you home. And you don't need to go into details. The point is, it's clear that God ordained you out of what was certain death because he had plans for you. How did you finally meet Jesus? I'm curious about this because you've continued to say, God reminded you of this, God reminded you of that. And that makes me feel like maybe somewhere in your childhood development, there was a baseline of some, at least, concept of God.
Yeah.
You felt like he was speaking to you then, or you feel like in retrospect, you're able to say, I can see that he was speaking
retrospect.
To me. Retrospect, okay.
Because God would bring language back.
Okay.
We have to understand what changes society is language. And before culture can change, before values can change, language has to play a huge part. So God began to use my language to remind me. Again, I looked impossible. I was impossible to reach. I didn't want anything to do with God. Society was reminding me where I was going. My homeboys, my friends were reminding me I had no hope. Yet God used three prophetic phrases that were the catalyst to speak my language. And God had to use somebody that was willing to live and die for him as much as I was willing to live and die for my neighborhood. This is the difference that when you follow Jesus, are you willing to live and die for him? Because if you don't, you don't believe what he says. My sister knew that before she walked into the barrio, into the gang, she had to be prepared to die. And it took her a whole year. God, I don't know if I'm willing to die for you. Well, if you love your brother, you got to go into the lion's den and go get him and give him a word. Don't fix him. Don't try to change him and don't get him out. I just want you to deliver three words for him. Are you willing to step into the lion's den and die for me? Remember, I was willing to live and die for my barrio, but there was not enough Christians willing to live and die for their faith. Until my sister stepped in, she's shaking and she knew what she was walking into. She risked her reputation, she risked her life, and she risked a rejection from her brother. You know how embarrassing that is, that God will not show up? When God gives you a word and then God doesn't perform his word? That would be embarrassing. My sister walked in with a God, with a prophetic word, and with faith on hand. And she walked in. She didn't judge me. She didn't tell me I was going to hell. She didn't even give me her time to conversate with her. She came in there and delivered what she was given. Yet you want to take people out to eat. Yet you want to have time with them. No, when God gives you a word, all you have is time to deliver that message and nothing more. You don't sit around and wait and talk to the FedEx guy. No, they're there to deliver a package and they got to go. My sister came in to deliver a package and she said what the retrospect of the words that were going to hit my heart. What if God is real? Remember, I asked, if there is a God, where are you? Number two, what if prayer works? But the one that really touched my core, what if you have a different destiny? And she walked away. She didn't stay there and try to explain to me John 3:16, and this is what John chapter 8 meant, and Romans. And well, let me give you this eschatology of the theological political spectrum of theology, because the Assemblies of God says this, and the Baptist says this, and the Romans. No, she just delivered a word from God that she heard.
Right.
What if God is real? What if prayer works? What if you have a different destiny? And she walked away. Wait a minute. If God is real, I got a lot of things to say to him. If prayer is the way you communicate with him, then I need to talk to him. Wait a minute, I have a different destiny? How can I have a different destiny when my homeboys, my gang said, don't make plans? They told me that my destiny was to die in prison, to be in the hospital, or death. That was my destiny. And I was trying to fulfill those three at all costs because I didn't want to feel the pain anymore. All I wanted was to be loved. All I wanted was my dad. All I wanted was why I was rejected. I needed somebody to explain to me what happened. why I can't go back home. I try to make everywhere home, but I didn't feel like home, and I didn't have a home to go back to. Yet God is saying, what if God is real? What if prayer works? What if you have a different destiny? Those three words were the catalyst to change, and it was the moment where I knew when my sister said, I want you to go to church with me and hear this man talk about Jesus. And I said, I'm scared. If people find out I'm there, I'm dead. You'll have to read the book, because it took a gun in my head, a shotgun in my back, and another pistol in my chest to stand up to my gang and let them know what happened that Saturday night that changed my life forever. It's the reason why I'm sitting here today, is because I wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was all I had at that moment. It's all I have today. And it's all I have tomorrow.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to remind you that SkyWatch TV is a viewer-supported ministry. And right now, when you partner with us, your support not only helps us stay on the air, it also enables us to continue the mission through our networks and digital platforms, reach areas of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ that are unable to support us financially. When you order the new book, My Crazy Life, The Moments That Brought a Gangster to Grace by Mondo de la Vega, we're going to send it to you as our gift for your donation of only $25 or more, which includes free shipping to all U.S. addresses. So again, for your donation of only $25 or more, you'll receive My Crazy Life with free shipping to all U.S. addresses, and you'll be helping SkyWatch TV continue reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can scan the QR code on your screen using the camera app on your phone for instant access to this special opportunity. You can also visit us at SkyWatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985 and ask for My Crazy Life right now. Friends, it's not an opportunity that you're going to want to miss out on. Mondo, with just a few minutes left on the clock, was there a defining moment where you finally just surrendered and gave your life to Christ, or was it an incremental journey that took place over time? Like, how did you finally come to know Jesus?
My sister invited me to church. I was scared to go to church. I was worried about my reputation, everything I worked so hard for, to give it away. But I gave her a promise. That Saturday, I get a call from my gang saying that we got to go do a hit. And I forgot about meeting my sister. I gave her my word. It's all I had. And we got inside of another lowrider, and I noticed something different, Joe. The music wasn't on. Nobody was joking around. Nobody was doing drugs like usual. It was very quiet, except for I saw a lot of guns. I always carry guns with me. But then I saw the type of guns they had. We knew we had to go do a hit. And as we're driving by the church that my sister asked me to join her, and something in me said, stop the car. Everybody turned around and says, what? Shut your mouth. We got to go take care of this business. I said, no, stop the car. I got to take care of something. I gave a promise to my sister. I'll meet with you guys in 30 minutes. My homeboy Snoopy, my friend Snoopy said, hey, let him go. We'll meet in 30 minutes, man. This guy's always down with us. As I get out of the vehicle, I'm walking towards the church. It's an uphill battle almost. And I'm scared out of my mind. What if my life changes and I don't know where to go? What am I going to expect going up there? What if my sister is framing me? What if she's, as I walk up to the church, I get up to the church and I notice on the left side a bunch of gang members that look like me, and I'm thinking my sister is setting me up. I look to the right and I see the older gang members dressed in suits, and I'm thinking my sister set me up, and I can't see her anywhere. And the preacher that gets up to start preaching about the gospel, I recognize him, and he was one of my biggest enemies in the streets. And I'm thinking, my sister's setting me up, and I grab my guns, waiting for somebody to jump, to come out of nowhere to challenge me. All of a sudden, this man begins to start talking about Jesus in a way that I never was presented with. And he said, there's a young man that needs to know who Jesus is. And he wants you to know that he loves you. He's been with you. And he starts talking to me. I'm all the way in the back with sunglasses on, white shirt, my guns. and I'm nervous as this guy is talking about Jesus and he's telling me about how much he loves me, what he did on the cross for me, how I didn't deserve everything. And I begin to get scared. And as I'm walking out of the church, he said, I can't be here. And I'm battling. I can't be here. This is wrong. If somebody finds out, all of a sudden the music starts playing. The music starts playing. And all of a sudden the song that changed that moment was at the cross where I first saw the light in my tears. And he said, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave this room knowing that there's a bullet with your name on it? Or you're going to accept that he loves you? And he starts telling me, and I start crying. And that was the moment, Joe, where my heart broke to understand that God loves me enough that he valued me. He has a plan for me. And this pastor, this minister, just grabbed me and told me how much he loved me. But this is the key that later in my life, people said to me, he said, welcome home. I was looking for a home. And he said, welcome home. I went to Jerusalem with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and the first thing he said when we looked over Jerusalem, he said, welcome home. My father-in-law, when I married his daughter, the first thing he said without him even knowing, he said, welcome home. There was something about being welcome home. Marriage is a home that God created. Mm. Jerusalem is our future home. Our home is with him, and when he welcomed me home, I felt like I belong. Remember, I was looking for a home and I couldn't find it until Jesus came into my life. Amen. And gave me a home to settle in.
With about a minute on the clock, Mondo, if you're watching this show out there today and you're feeling hopeless and you're lost and maybe your story sounds an awful lot like Mondo's or maybe parts of it sound similar, what would your advice to that person be?
Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on the idea that you do belong. Can I just tell you this simple thing? Welcome home. He loves you. He cares about you just the way you are. But you know the one thing about God? He refuses to leave you where he found you.
Amen.
He's crazy about you. Imagine this. If he can do this for an ex-gang member, imagine what he can do with you. Be exceptional. Trust him. He can do it. He did it for me.
We only need 6 or 8 more hours, Mondo. Unfortunately, we're all out of time. But I got to tell you again, Mondo, Ricky, thank you so much for joining us this week. How many of you felt just absolutely blessed by this testimony? Friends, we'll have to do it again someday. For everybody here in studio, for everybody up here on panel, Mondo, Ricky, thank you so much. I'm Joe Artis Horn. Keep your eyes on the only prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.